Just going grey. Hot dogs. The Monday meat is black pudding. And we start a brand new series in Keynsham. Actually, a really interesting series with Richard Dyson looking at the history of Keynsham. On Monday's show, looking at the Roman history. Have a great weekend.
From Weston Supermare to Bath, Thornbury to the Mendips. BBC Radio Bristol.
The time is 2 o'clock at the news desk. It's Richard Lawson.
Steve, thank you. Good afternoon. A photographer who drugged and raped two men at his home in Bristol has been jailed for 11 and a half years at Bristol Crown Court. 43-year-old Nigel Brent Wilkinson of Hill Avenue admitted 2 counts of rape, 3 counts of administering a substance with intent to rape and possession of Class C drugs. Wilkinson was being investigated for offences against one man when officers attended his home to arrest him and found a second victim asleep on his sofa. A third victim was identified during the course of the investigation. Detective Sergeant Jenny Farman spoke outside court and said Wilkinson was especially dangerous.
On the surface, Nigel Wilkinson was a photographer with an interest in male fitness models. In private, he was a cunning sexual offender who used his photography enterprise as a cover and catalyst for his deviant activities.
Two men from Turkey have been jailed for 20 and 22 years for trying to smuggle cocaine with a street value of around £500 million. Glasgow High Court heard 3 tonnes of the drug were found on a boat stopped in the North Sea last year in what's thought to have been the largest such seizure at sea in Europe. The Foreign Office is warning British tourists in Thailand to exercise extreme caution after a series of bomb attacks in resorts and cities. 4 people were killed and dozens wounded. Thai police don't believe international terrorists were involved. Darren Lingaroo, who's on holiday with his girlfriend in Phuket, says they didn't know about the attacks until they reached a police cordon.
The police officer blew his whistle and gestured with his hand, "Everybody get down." My girlfriend panicked at that point and ran away from the area. I sort of rushed away, probably about 200 metres away from the cordon site. That's when we heard a few bangs, which sounded like sort of fireworks or like almost like gunshots. But people were still, there was still a sense of panic at that point. People were sort of rushing away.
A local doctor whose surgery can't meet patient demand says the GP shortage needs to be addressed. Whitchurch Health Centre, south of Bristol, says it's 490 appointments short each week due to a lack of doctors. NHS England South West says it's aware of the problem and has pledged to recruit an extra 5,000 doctors along with 5,000 nurses and other practice staff over the next 5 years. But Dr. Geraldine Badger, a partner at Whitchurch Health Centre, believes they face a serious challenge in attracting young medics to the profession.
My colleagues and I are desperately trying to remedy this by recruiting from a very small and dwindling pool of new GPs. But we have had no success in recruiting a new doctor to the practice since June 2015. There has been underinvestment, increasing demand, and it has become a very stressful, intense job which junior doctors are not applying for.
Organisers of the 38th Bristol International Balloon Fiesta say they're looking forward to better weather over the weekend. Windy conditions forced them to cancel ascents both last night and this morning. A tethered balloon show and other activities have continued today at Ashton Court Estate, attracting visitors from across the country. Well, Clive Bailey, the flight director for the festival, says he is confident the balloons will get airborne soon.
I think we'll fly possibly tonight. We're looking at that in detail tomorrow morning. It's all going to be on-the-day decisions, but the one that I absolutely know will be fabulous for flying, it will be that classic balloon fiesta, 130 balloons in the air, will be Sunday. It's looking absolutely very, very light winds. And hey, what, I guess we'll be going down to Nailsea.
And the actor Richard Wilson, best known for the BBC comedy One Foot in the Grave, has had a heart attack. His agent says the 80-year-old is in a stable condition in hospital. And the weather forecast, it'll be a fine afternoon with some sunny spells. Temperatures today reaching around 23 degrees Celsius. It'll be a fine evening with some late sunshine. And that's the BBC Radio Bristol News. It's now coming up to 2:04.
BBC Radio Bristol.
Here we go then. A very good afternoon from Claire. It's a fab Friday. Let's get the latest on the roads with Oliver Head. And problems on the M5, Oliver.
Indeed, some big hold-ups southbound between Junction 14 for Thornbury and Junction 20 for Clevedon and Nelsea. Most of the way down really slow with all the summer holiday traffic. That means that heading past Thornbury to Rudgeway on the A38 southbound is also really slow moving. Northbound on the M5, that's slow in places between 27 Tiverton and Junction 22 for Burnham on Sea. The A38 Broadway in Bridgewater with the petrol station, there's a collision which you can get round, but it's making it very slow. And indeed, most of the A38 in and out of Bridgewater is very heavy. At the county ground in Taunton, there's cricket taking place. That starts at 5 o'clock this evening. Coming from Taunton on the A358, queues from after Hatch Beecham now towards the Ilminster bypass. On the 303, it's slow both ways between Podmore and the Hazel Grove roundabout at Sparkford. The Cartgate Link Roads, A30, 88, really slow to and from Yeovil because of those works. In Bristol, the Plimsoll Bridge is open about now to let some boats through, so expect delays around the Cumberland Basin. We've also got Junction Bridge near the Pump House due to open at about 20 past 2. There's the Bloom Fiesta ongoing at Ashton Court. Road closures are in place later, including the A369 Abbotsley Road and Clannage Road. That's from 7 o'clock until midnight, and also between Fayland and Long Ashton, Clerkenwell and Clevedon Road will be closed as well. Redfield on Church Road, that's slow as Eastern Road is shut for work by the railway bridge. The M32 coming into Bristol is slow, approaching and through Junction 3 for St Paul's. And on the trains, there's an issue with the signals at Chiswick, so journeys between Barnes and Hounslow are being delayed by up to a quarter of an hour. Any updates, give us a call if it's safe and legal. 0345 905 949.
There's a lot to be getting on with there, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and updates all through the afternoon. If you're planning to go somewhere this afternoon, then listen in. We'll have the next update just after 2:30. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Claire Kavanagh, BBC Radio Bristol.
He's got his finger on the pulse. He knows what he's doing. So welcome, welcome. It's Friday's show with Claire. Hope you're having a nice day. Not sure the Bristol Balloon Fiesta has really got off the ground at the moment. Still haven't seen any balloons up in the air. Such a shame. Maybe next year do it indoors, eh? Yeah. Let's get going with Starship.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Let the world around us just fall apart. Maybe we can make it if we're heart to heart. And we can build this dream together. Standing strong forever. No.
Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now from 1987. By the way, I'll be keeping one eye on the Olympics that's happening now. Yeah, now, in Rio. Because Heather Stanning from Yeovil is going this afternoon in the double sculls with Helen Glover, who is not from our patch. Anyway, just after three, so I'll keep an eye on how they do this afternoon. So Friday's show, and I've got a top guest for you today. Philippa Gregory is coming up very, very soon. She was brought up in Bristol. She flunked her A-level history, but she's now a historian and a historical novelist, and she's become hugely successful. So she's going to talk about her new book, plus her memories of 1950s and 60s Bristol, which is fascinating, and just how much it's changed when she comes back. So Philippa Gregory to come very, very soon. And later on the show, we've got Matt Johnson, who's been in the business we call show since the age of 16, unbelievably. He's a singer-songwriter who had a short dalliance with being in a boy band created by the ITV series Pop Stars. And now he's got a cracking new single out. He'll join me in the studio after three. Squeezed in between, the connection heads your way after half two. Four tunes. You have to make the link between them and something in the news in the past 24 hours that happened in the West Country. And great music all through the show. That's a guarantee. Soft Cell and Paul Simon to come later, and this Stormer from David Bowie.
Thank you.
Sublime, David Bowie, Ashes to Ashes. Doesn't get much better than that, really, in music, does it? 2:15 and it's Friday's show with Claire. Don't forget, we'll play The Connection after 2:30. You have to guess what The Connection is from the 4 tunes that I'm going to play you. We had a brilliant response yesterday. Let's see how you do today. Let's see how it goes. It'll be fine, don't worry. So we'll play that after 2:30. But to my first guest now, Philippa Gregory. She's a really successful writer who grew up and went to school in Bristol. She only got an E for her A-level history, but that didn't stop her writing some best-selling historical fiction. And one of her books, The Other Boleyn Girl, was made into a film starring Scarlett Johansson. And the book The White Princess is being made into a TV series at the moment. You might have seen them filming it last week at Bristol Cathedral. So I asked Philippa whether it's tough as the original writer of the books not to interfere in the filming.
Oh, well, no, you know, I'm actually hired to interfere, which is always a nice thing to get paid for. Yeah. You know, my role is to read the scripts and to give them notes as to sometimes things like historical accuracy in props or actions, or, you know, what they're intending to happen actually as the action, which might not be described in the novel, so they write it for themselves. And, you know, that's, I'm actually supposed to give a sort of a historical check and also a relevance to the novel check throughout the process.
And as a writer and as someone who has had success with TV and film, do you ever have an eye when you're writing on the potential adaptation, or are you just thinking of the book?
No, really, it's a very different art form. So when I'm writing a novel, I am completely absorbed, and I think rightly so, in trying to write a really good novel. I write mostly historical fiction, so already I'm working in another form, really. So I've done my research really as a historian, and then I write as a novelist. I don't have time in all of that to be thinking about what sort of pitch one would write if one was a filmmaker as well.
Yeah.
That comes very much afterwards. You know, first of all, the completely absorbing job is to write a good novel.
Now, you're a historical novelist who famously got an E in history when you were at school in Bristol, weren't you?
Yes, I was at Colston Girls' School, but they're not to be blamed for that.
Are they not?
No.
Do you have happy memories of that time? What was it like?
It was very mixed. You know, it feels like such a long time ago now. The city's changed so much. I imagine the school's changed. It's really extraordinarily difficult to explain to people now what Bristol was like, 50 years ago. It was so quiet and so provincial and so really dull. I'm sure now it's much more interesting. But, you know, at the time there was stuff going on, but it wasn't really very apparent and you had to really look for it. And I had a very, very happy childhood in Bristol, but it was a very, very quiet provincial out-of-the-way town then.
And in what way have you noticed change? Do you come back very much?
I came back a month or so ago because Points West was doing a program about books and their locations, contributing to a national program, the Inside Out strand of programs. And I was very honoured, actually, that they chose to do a strand of the program on A Respectable Trade, which is my novel about slavery in Bristol in the 18th century, black slavery in Bristol in the 18th century. So I was actually in the town, you know, in Clifton, which was my childhood home, looking at the suspension bridge, looking at the old spa there. It's fascinating to come back to. I love coming back to Bristol.
What do you notice most that's changed? Apart from the fact that you said it was such a quiet place, thought when you were growing up.
It's just, I have a completely tourist response, really. Just the traffic amazes me. You know, it's so it's so busy. You've built new roads. I can't see why you would. I mean, when I was there, Broadmead was like a shopping destination of, you know, enormous importance. You either shopped in Park Street or you went on a big expedition to Broadmead. And, you know, that's got a very different feel about it now. And, of course, I wasn't even in sort of main Bristol. My home was in Clifton. And Clifton was very, very suburban and leafy and quiet. And I think it's much more active and busy and probably built up now.
Yeah. Really nice to hear the changes and just the developments that have gone on over time.
It's extraordinary, actually, because I come back quite seldom and with quite a big gap in between. I mean, I literally couldn't believe the traffic. I got stuck in a traffic jam from Temple Meads to the centre of Bristol, and It felt like London, and I went like, this doesn't happen.
Yes, it's an absolute joy on a daily basis, that.
I know, you've all got cars. And then there's something going on that people were telling me about a tram system.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They haven't got the money.
Well, you know, I'll come back in 10 years and there'll be a tram and I'll be going like, now what have they done?
But we used to have a tram and they took the tram away. How crazy was that?
You used to have the dock going right the way up. You know, the middle of the city, that's changed as well. I mean, that changed. I mean, I've seen old pictures of it, but it's even changed in my lifetime. Like, every time I come back, there's less water. How do you do that?
Just suck it all out. Now, Philippa, tell us about the new book, because you've gone back to, is this your favourite era, the Tudors?
It's what happens to me is that I come across characters that are so irresistible as their histories and irresistible to me as a novelist, that I write about them and they lead me to another character. So I've been in the Tudor Plantagenet generations for the last, I would think, probably 10, 15 books. And it isn't that I went, oh, now I'm going to write about the Tudors or now I'm going to write about the Plantagenets. It's just that they occur in the research for a previous book. So I became very interested in Mary, who is Henry VIII's younger sister, and her older sister, Margaret, who becomes Queen of Scotland. And they were the two of them were very close to his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. And you go, here is around this, you know, extraordinarily controversial, major English history figure, are these three very, very different, very strong, very themselves active and powerful women, all of them trying to survive in what is a terrible man's world, which is ruled by a really terrible man. And the wife and the two sisters cope in their own different ways, but they also work together to try and, at times, you know, deal with him, get round him. And I thought this is a very, very interesting family dynamic, as well as being a very, very interesting event in history, the early years of Henry's reign, the early years, I mean, the first 16 years of his reign, when he marries and then falls out of love with Catherine of Aragon. Mm. And at the same time, his sisters are marrying arranged marriages and then making their own marriages for choice. And the whole question of a woman's right to choose her husband is absolutely centre to these three women's stories.
Yeah, it's clever stuff. More to come from Philippa Gregory in just a moment after the Eagles and Lion Eyes.
Your smile. She gets up and pours herself a strong one and stares out at the stars up in the sky. Another night, it's gonna be a long one. She draws a shade and hangs her head to cry. My, oh my, you sure know how to arrange things. You set it up so well, so carefully. Ain't it funny how your new life didn't change things? You're still the same old girl you used to be. You can't.
Eagles, Lion Eyes. Very nice indeed. 27 minutes past two now. It's Friday's show with Claire. We'll update you on the roads with Oliver just after half two. I know there are a few problems out there. M5, crazy busy as expected because it's Friday afternoon and holiday traffic as well. Where are you going then? Tell me all about it. And we'll play The Connection as well after half two. Don't forget to have a go at that. Back to my chat with Philippa Gregory, hugely successful novelist. She's written lots and lots about the Tudors and her latest book is back in that era. It's all about three sisters and three queens, and I asked her why she decided to write about siblings this time.
I started off thinking I was going to write about Margaret, Queen of Scots, the older sister, and that the novel would be from her point of view and almost entirely about her. And then almost after the first draft, it became apparent to me that I had a bit of a tiger by the tail, you know, that what I had was to me a more interesting story about the interrelations in the Tudor royal family. And it just happens that when the three of them are, the three women are in line for the throne, so their son will be the next King of England. So almost alternately, they have babies, and the babies are then the next King of England, and then the baby dies. So you have, in a sense, the possibility of being the mother of the next King of England goes from one sister to another, almost in rotation.
And
the rise of ambition and the disappointment is, of course, matched by the very human, you know, normal sense of, you know, terrible disappointment at the loss of a child and enormous hope at a successful birth. So it's what I like, which is, you know, in the old feminist phrase, you know, looking at the personal and the political. And for these women in this incredibly important position, the personal is political. So you can tell a story about the succession of England and about the decline of the king into tyranny by telling the story of these three women and their hopes and fears and disappointments.
And it's those troublesome Tudors again.
Yeah, it is the troublesome Tudors again. But, you know, they're so very troublesome. You know, I absolutely think that probably most readers know plenty about Henry VIII, but very few people know much about Margaret, his sister, and very few about Mary, his younger sister. So it's very interesting to tell some of his story, but mostly theirs, through their eyes, turning the focus, as I always do, on the women.
Did you always want to write historical fiction? I know you've heard from time to time a few academics get a bit sniffy about your success, really, I suppose. Some of them accuse you of sort of letting your imagination run away with you. Is that in any way fair? Or is it just jealousy?
It's fine. It's not a few academics. It's just one. It's David Starkey.
Oh, it's just one, OK.
It's just David Starkey.
It's Mr. Starkey, yes.
It doesn't... Doctor.
Doctor, of course.
Dr. Starkey. So it doesn't, you know, like, in a sense, he is doing what he has every right to do, which is to comment on another historian's work. And he believes that you shouldn't attempt to tell history through the novel. And there's a very long tradition of doing that, you know, which starts probably with Walter Scott, but really probably with the Roman legends. I don't mind that I'm working in a form that he doesn't admire. That doesn't trouble me. Mm. The only thing that would ever really genuinely trouble me is if there's some historical facts. If I get them wrong, that really troubles me. And I'd correct them in the next edition.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen very often. Because,
and I just imagine that what you do makes history more popular. Is that something you care about or you want to do? Yes, or that you set out to do?
Enormously. I didn't set out to do it. What I always set out to do is to write a good novel. And that's in itself so difficult to do that I can't really be thinking about whether it might make a film or whether it will publicise a particular historical character or even at that stage whether anyone else will like it. At the first stage of writing, it just has to, in a sense, meet my criteria as someone who loves history, as someone who is trained as a historian, as someone who works as a novelist. That's my job then. I can't be worried about anybody else. Then, of course, it's published, and of course then you do get feedback from other people, and it's incredibly rewarding to me that so many people have come to a love of history by reading my novels, and a surprising number go on to study history for their own pleasure. A really surprising number go on to study history at university. So I often hear from university lecturers who say, you know, my course is full of people who came to the Tudors or the Plantagenets or the medieval period through your novels and now want to study it at university and be historians. I mean,
I think that's great.
Hugely rewarding.
Yeah.
And especially when I know that I'm reaching people who maybe didn't have a wonderful experience of history at school, or maybe not even a wonderful experience of school, because people are reading my novels for pleasure. Sometimes they're people who didn't get a good education, and now some of them are returning to education with a very different perspective. That's got to be good, you know, like, so, you know, and I publish worldwide. So you're talking about literally millions of readers. And that's a pleasure. You know, that's a real honour.
She's super talented. And you can read all about it in her brand new book, Three Sisters, Three Queens. Philippa Gregory, what a great guest to have on the show. She was fab. Brought up in Bristol, flunked her A-level history. Now she's a historian and a historical novelist. Yeah, take that, teachers. George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, to take us up to the latest travel news. We'll have an update on the M5 and what's happening down there.
See you.
Nelson, My Sweet Lord, in his Hare Krishna phase. Just as well he suited long hair. We'll play The Connection in just a bit, so stay with me for that. All you have to do is guess the connection between the songs and something in the news.
BBC Radio Bristol.
That's what you have to do. Simple as that. Let's get the latest on the roads with Oliver Head and problems on the M5, Oliver.
Yes, some big hold-ups southbound from Junction 14 Thornbury to Junction 20 for Clevedon and Nelsie. Most of the way down, seeing some long delays of around about an hour or more. It's all down to the sheer volume of holiday traffic. Thanks to the tweet from Katie to say that people are stuck trying to get out of Gordano services again by Junction 19 as a result of that. Also, the A38 really slow on the southbound side, Thornbury to Rudgeway, with traffic trying to avoid the M5 hold-ups. Northbound between 27 Tiverton and 22 for Burnham-on-Sea. That's really slow going in places. There was briefly a collision near Bridgewater between 24 and 23. That's gone, but again, still very slow. And there was a breakdown northbound between 15 Almondsbury and 14 for Thornbury. That's gone, with things starting to ease. In Bridgewater, on the A38 Broadway by the petrol station, that collision's cleared, although coming up from North Petherton on Taunton Road all the way to Bridgewater, very slow, as is most of Bristol Road. At the county ground in Taunton, there's cricket that starts at 5 o'clock. The A358 from after Hatch Beecham, in fact, mostly Ashhill now towards Ilminster, is still very slow. And the A38 Wellington to Taunton, by the way, that's slow most of the way along. Again, that's traffic trying to avoid the M5. To and from Yeovil on the Cartgate Link Road, very busy because of roadworks. In Bristol, the Plimsoll Bridge is back open again to vehicles, as is the Junction Bridge. There's the Bloom Fiesta at Ashton Court. Road closures kick in later from 7 o'clock until midnight, which includes Clanage Road, Rownham Hill and Lee Road, the A369. Redfield on Church Road is slow. On the trains, there's a broken down service causing delays London bound between Chiswick and Kew Bridge, and 15 minute delays between Barnes and Hounslow because of signal issues at Chiswick. Any updates, give us a call if it's safe and legal. 0345 905 949.
In short, rubbish.
Yes.
That's what it is. Next update just after three. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Breakfast with Emma Britton on BBC Radio Bristol.
One woman from Bristol wants to make croquet cool and would love to see it make a return to the Olympics.
It was in France and it was one of four sports which had women play for the first time. You know, it's all about control and accuracy and also not getting cross. So I get really cross with myself.
Emma Britton.
Have your dream croquet achievement, what would it be?
For the croquet to be in the Olympics and for me to be able to play for my country, definitely.
So it's to swing it between your legs like this?
Yeah.
Yes! Through the hoop.
Emma Britton, weekdays from 6:30 on BBC Radio Bristol.
Turnstall and Suddenly I See. Have to be so careful with that name. Some friends of mine used to live next door to her in London, and they said she very much kept herself to herself. Not even a cup of sugar brought round. Anyway, let's play The Connection this afternoon. All you have to do is guess the link, the connection between the four tunes and something in the news in the past 24 hours that happened in the West Country. That's the only clue I'm going to give you, unless it goes really badly, and then I'll give you loads. 81333 is the text number you need to get in touch. Start the message with Cav. That gets straight through to me, C-A-V. Then stick your answer in there, or you can call us 0345 900 5949. We'll do it. Martin taking your calls today. Just check that he's still awake. Oh, he's not even there. He'll be there in a minute. 0345 900 5949. He was looking a bit tired earlier. He went to the balloon fiesta and it was a late night for him. Bless. About 10. 81333 on the text. Start the message with Cav if you can guess the connection this afternoon. And you can email me as well. It's claire.kavanagh@bbc.co.uk. OK, have a listen to the teaser and then have a think about it and get in touch. There we go. Can you guess from that, from the four tunes and the short bits that you just heard there, the connection between that and something in the news in the past 24 hours? By the way, Martin has returned. He says he didn't go anywhere. He didn't leave his seat, honestly. 0345 900 5949. What we do, we make sure we tie him to the seat so he can't go anywhere between 2 and 4. That's the thing. 81333 on the text. Start the message with Cav, C-A-V. Can you guess the link, the connection between the songs and something in the news in the West Country in the past 24 hours? A reminder of the teaser after this. Magic, Diana Ross and the Supremes. Where did our love go? 12 minutes to 3 now, and it's Claire in the afternoon on a Friday on your BBC local radio station. And we're playing the connection, or you have to do. Simple, isn't it? Simple for me. I know the answer. Is get the connection, the link between the four songs that I'm going to play. You hear them all in full and something in the news in the past 24 hours in the West Country. That's the only clue I'm going to give you so far. Although maybe later, you know, I'll practically tell you the whole thing if nobody gets it. 81333 is the text number you need. Start the message with CAV, C-A-V, or give me a ring, 0345 905 949. And Martin will take your calls today. You can always tweet me as well. It's at CavWorld on Twitter, at CavWorld. Have another listen to the teaser. Couple of familiar tunes, maybe. Can you guess from that what the link is, the connection between the songs and something that's been in the news in the past 24 hours in the West Country? 81333 on the text. Start the message with CAV. Should do it. 0345 905 949. The first song in full after this.
John Darvel on BBC Radio Bristol.
Djawar Khalid fled his home in Syria 2 years ago, escaping a life that would have either seen him kill or be killed himself.
John Darvel.
George Ferguson opened up his home to Djawar for 3 months.
What was life like living with George Ferguson?
That was the most important 3 months in my life. He taught me stuff and things which I've never been learned.
It was a real delight. I have to say, I was lucky. Two-way, you know, it was friendship. And Djawar and I will always be friends.
John Darvel, weekdays from 9 on BBC Radio Bristol.
Right, try it. Time to work those brain cells. I was going to say flex those brain muscles doesn't work at all. Can you guess the connection today, the connection between the songs and something that's been in the news in the past 24 hours? First up, song one, it's Adele.
Okay.
Adele and Skyfall being her usual chipper self from the 2012 Bond film starring Daniel Craig. Was that the one in the inappropriate trunks? I can't remember. Yeah, giving Tom Daly a run for his money. Not sure. Was it that one? Anyway, 4 years ago. The time of the last Olympics. Remember them? Yeah, London. OK, then, 5 minutes to three now. Have you guessed the connection yet? Can you make the link between the songs and something that's been in the news in the past 24 hours in the West Country? 81333, if you'd like to have a go, start the message with CAV, C-A-V, or give us a ring, 0345 900 5949. And Martin will take your calls today and have a chat. 0345 905 949. We'll do it. Four songs. That was track one, Skyfall by Adele. And this one will be number two then. Yeah, I can count. One, two. What's it after that? What is it? I feel like there should be actions to this song. It's a bit oops upside your head, isn't it? Average White Band, Let's Go Round Again from 1980. Track two today on The Connection. A few wrong answers today. I know why. I'm not going to tell you what they are, though. That's not fair. 81333, if you'd like to have a go, start the message with Cav. Two more tracks after the news.
From Weston Supermare to Bath, Thornbury to the Mendips.
3 o'clock now.
BBC Radio Bristol.
Let's get the very latest BBC Radio Bristol news from Richard Lawson.
A photographer who drugged and raped two men at his home in Bristol has been jailed for 11 and a half years at Bristol Crown Court. 43-year-old Nigel Brent Wilkinson of Hill Avenue admitted two counts of rape, three counts of administering a substance with intent to rape and possession of Class C drugs. Wilkinson was being investigated for offences against one man when officers attended his home to arrest him and found a second victim asleep on the sofa. A third victim was identified during the course of the investigation. Detective Sergeant Jenny Farman spoke outside court and said Wilkinson was especially dangerous.
On the surface, Nigel Wilkinson was a photographer with an interest in male fitness models. In private, he was a cunning sexual offender who used his photography enterprise as a cover and catalyst for his deviant activities.
The Rail Minister has condemned the RMT union after it announced that members who work for Virgin Trains East Coast are to hold three 24-hour strikes this month, including one on Bank Holiday Monday. The RMT says Virgin provoked the strike by trying to bulldoze through a package of measures that would destroy jobs and also harm working conditions. The Foreign Office is warning British tourists in Thailand to exercise extreme caution after a series of bomb attacks in resorts and cities. Four people were killed and dozens wounded. Thai police don't believe international terrorists were involved. Darren Lingaroo, who's on holiday with his girlfriend in Phuket, says they didn't know about the attacks until they reached a police cordon.
The police officer blew his whistle and gestured with his hand, "Everybody get down." My girlfriend panicked at that point and ran away from the area. I sort of rushed away, probably about 200 metres away from the cordon site. That's when we heard a few bangs, which sounded like sort of fireworks or like almost like gunshots. But people were still, there was still a sense of panic at that point. People were sort of rushing away.
A local doctor whose surgery can't meet patient demand says the GP shortage needs to be addressed. Whitchurch Health Centre, south of Bristol, says it's 490 appointments short each week due to a lack of doctors. NHS England South West says it's aware of the problem and has pledged to recruit an extra 5,000 doctors along with 5,000 nurses and other practice staff over the next 5 years. But Dr. Geraldine Badger, a partner at Whitchurch Health Centre, believes they face a serious challenge in attracting young medics to the profession.
My colleagues and I are desperately trying to remedy this by recruiting from a very small and dwindling pool of new GPs, but we have had no success in recruiting a new doctor to the practice since June 2015. There has been underinvestment, increasing demand, and it has become a very stressful, intense job which junior doctors are not applying for.
Organisers of the 38th Bristol International Balloon Fiesta say they're looking forward to better weather over the weekend. Windy conditions forced them to cancel ascents both last night and this morning. A tethered balloon show and other activities have continued today at Ashton Court Estate, attracting visitors from across the country. Clive Bailey, the flight director for the festival, says he's confident the balloons will get airborne soon.
I think we'll fly possibly tonight. We're looking at that in detail tomorrow morning. It's all going to be on the day decisions, but the one that I absolutely know will be fabulous for flying it will be that classic balloon fiesta. 130 balloons in the air will be Sunday. It's looking absolutely very, very light winds. And hey, what? I guess we'll be going down to Nailsy.
We're turning now to the weather forecast, and it'll be generally a fine afternoon with some sunny spells. Temperatures today reaching 23 degrees Celsius. It'll be a fine evening to follow with some late sunshine. However, cloud will increase by tomorrow morning with some patchy light rain possible. It'll be another mild night overnight, with temperatures tonight dropping to around 15 degrees Celsius. And that's the BBC Radio Bristol News. It's now coming up to 4 minutes past three.
BBC
BBC Radio Bristol.
Second hour of the show. Let's get the latest on the roads with Oliver Head and big, big problems. It's Friday on the M5. Surprise, surprise.
Indeed, summer holiday as well. So long delays southbound from 14 Thornbury all the way to Junction 20 for Clevedon and Nailsea. An extra hour at least on two journey times. It is just the sheer volume of traffic. As a result, people are stuck trying to get out of Gordano services and generally the A369 near to Junction 19. Very slow moving. The A38 also seeing delays from Thornbury to Rudgeway, stationary in places. Northbound on the M5, that's slow at points between 27 Tiverton to Junction 22 for Burnham on Sea. As a result of that, the A38 from Wellington to Taunton is slow most of the way along, as it is from North Petherton towards Bridgewater. Taunton at the county ground, there's the cricket later, starts at 5 o'clock, may make things busy. The Cartgate Link Road to and from Yeovil is slow because of roadworks. The 358 from Ash Hill towards Ilminster, very slow. Then the Ilminster bypass both ways is heavy. Also between the Podmore and Hazelgrove roundabouts at Sparkford. There's the Bloom Fiesta at Ashton Court in Bristol. Later, road closures kick in from 7 o'clock until midnight, which includes Clanage Road, Rownham Hill and Abbotsley Road, the A369. Church Road at Redfield is busy going. And the M32 heading into Bristol, that's busy approaching Junction 3 for St Paul's. In Bath, on James Street West by the Salvation Army, there's reports of a collision, so expect one or two delays around the city centre in Bath. On the trains, journeys between Chiswick and Kew Bridge are being delayed because of a breakdown. The signal problem at Chiswick, though, has been sorted. And there's a problem with the signals at Bourne End, so journeys through the area are being delayed between Maidenhead and Marlow over up to half an hour. Any updates, give us a call if it's safe and legal. 0345 905 949.
Going to be fun trying to get to the Balloon Fiesta later, isn't it? If you're coming from... Will it?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Fingers crossed.
It'll be fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And next update at 3:30. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Claire Kavanagh, BBC Radio Bristol.
Keeping one eye on Rio, by the way, Heather Stanning from Yeovil and Helen Glover, who trained at Millfield School, are in the final. They've just set off. I'll tell you what happens after train.
On the other side of the street I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night just right. I didn't leave you, cause I was all through. Oh, I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by. Just a shy guy looking for a two-fly. Hefty bang of home ride. I love when you move me. Upside to a downward spiral. My love for you went viral, and I loved you every mile you drove away. But now here you are again, so let's skip to how you've been and get down to the more than friends at last. Oh, but that one night is still the highlight. I didn't need you until I came to. That's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by. Just a shy guy looking for a two-fly. Hefty bag of
train and drive by. It should be glide by. Because that's what's happening at the Rio Olympics at the moment. They are still in the rowing. They're still in the lead. Fantastic. Heather Stanning from Yeovil, Helen Glover, who trained at Millfield School in Somerset, in the final of the double sculls. And they're defending their title. So fingers crossed it will be gold by the time I play you the next track. I don't know. It might be a 40-minute race. I'm not sure. Anyway, 81333. If you'd like to have a go at the connection, then start the message with CAV, C-A-V, text charge at your network standard rate. Or give us a ring, 0345 905 949. Some really interesting guesses this afternoon. Interestingly, none of them right so far. So keep them coming. 0345 905 949. Two tracks down, two more to go. You've heard Average White Band, Let's Go Round Again, and you heard Adele, Skyfall, from the Bond film. Can you think of the connection between the songs and something in the news that's been in the news in the West Country in about the past 24 hours? Let's see how you do. 81333 on the text. Start the message with CAV. Track three, coming your way. This is pretty special. Julie London, Fly Me to the Moon.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Fly Me to the Moon, Julie London. Oh, what a fantastic song that is. I love that recording. Written in 1954, and the likes of Johnny Mathis and Sinatra and Peggy Lee have all sung that song. But I think that is my favourite version. I love Julie London's voice. All right then, finally, somebody has got it right. I think from that song. Can you guess the connection between the songs and something in the news in the West Country in the past 24 hours? 81333 on the text. Start the message with CAV, C-A-V, 0345 905 949 if you want to get in touch with the show. And I've got some thrilling news to tell you. Blimey, it's been exhausting just watching them. Heather Stanning from Yeovil and Helen Glover, who trained at Millfield School, just to emphasise that, have won Olympic gold in Rio in the last, well, about 3 seconds. Amazing, brilliant, fantastic news. 0345 905 949. If you want to get in touch with the show and tell me what you think the connection is this afternoon, or you can text me 81333, start the message with CAV. Let's do this, actually, for Heather and Helen. Oh, yes, our own applause. Olympic gold medalists again. Brilliant. 81333 on the text. Start the message with Cav. I'm sure they appreciate that. One more track to go in the connection. Like they can hear it. What? One more track to go in the connection. Can you guess the link between the four songs and something that's been in the news in the past 24 hours? Here it is.
Don't ask me what you know is true. Don't have to tell you I love your precious heart. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds collided and they could never tear us apart. We could live for a thousand years, but if I hurt you, I make wine from your tears. I told you that we could fly. We all have wings, but some of us don't know why. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds colliding, and they could never.
Such a great song from 1987, Michael Hutchence, In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart. Ah, fantastic song to end on. So let's have a look at your answers today in the connection. The thing was that we didn't get anything for ages, and then there's been a massive stampede. I think I know why, so let's have a look at how you've done today. Has it been a gold medal winning performance? Well, you see. Heather and Helen just getting out of the boat to have their gold medals presented in Rio. And they've forgotten to bring that podium again. Do you remember? Yeah, just the flat surface, the platform that the rowers get to stand on. Where is the podium? Stuck in someone's garage somewhere. So today on The Connection, you heard Fly Me to the Moon by Julie London. You heard Average White Band singing Let's Go Round Again. Adele, Skyfall was also in there. And In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart. Now, loads of guesses today about the meteor shower. Unsurprisingly, all Skyfall and all the rest of it, Fly Me to the Moon. It's not that today, but Cora in Shirehampton thought that it was. Stephen Stokes-Upham thought it was the rocks on Mars connected to watch it. I've missed that one. Oh, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's not that, no. Dave in Bradley Stoke is right, though. Well done, Dave. Chris in Coombe Dingle enjoyed listening to Let's Go Round Again because she walked down the aisle to it and enjoyed listening to it. She remarried her husband 25 years after she first married him. Is that not bigamy? Oh, OK, so you split up in between. Chris, Great to hear from you. Thank you very much indeed. Jill in St. Werburgh's thought that it was about the drunk man on the plane from Bristol Airport. It's not, no. And Stuart, who is on his way into Bristol, thought that it was the meteor shower as well. Lots of guesses like that today. Chris Murphy thought it was that. Anonymous person on text, please put your name or I don't know who you are, thought it was that. We still won't know. John in Newport thought it was finding proof of water on Mars. No, it wasn't, I'm afraid. But some right answers. We did get them eventually. Alex got it right, as did another anonymous person. Jean in Knoll Park is right as well. Somebody thought it was the Westland helicopter speed record. Ed from Yeovil thought that. No, it wasn't, I'm afraid. Chris Murphy is right. Shirley in Canesham got it right, in a kind of manner of speaking. She thought it was the balloon fiesta. Well, it sort of was and it wasn't. The actual answer today on The Connection was the moon balloon. Remember that, which was the big thing at the balloon fiesta, designed by the artist Luke Jerram. And it was a bit of a disaster last night because he was over the moon and then he was a bit deflated because it burst. So this giant balloon thingy, which looks like the moon, burst last night and now nobody can see it at the fiesta, which is a bit rubbish. So that's the answer today on The Connection. So tear us apart, tear in the balloon, fly me to the moon. Moon is the key thing. Average white band. Let's go round, as in round like the moon. Now it's flat, this one. And Adele, Skyfall. This should be seen in the sky. The moon, of course. Well done if you got that. A few right answers today and some really interesting guessing.
Coming up this weekend, an Elvis special.
It's Saturday night and I just got paid. I fool about money, don't try to save. My heart says go, go, have a time. It's Saturday night, baby, and I'm feeling fine. All right.
Hi, this is Jeff Barker and this Saturday night's Rock and Roll Party looks ahead to International Elvis Week, marking the anniversary of his death on August the 16th, 1977. There'll be an hour of hits and tributes, classic Elvis tracks and some of the songs written about him both during his lifetime and afterwards. Not to be missed, Elvis Hits and Tributes on the Rock and Roll Party. Saturday night, BBC Radio Bristol.
So the answer today on The Connection was the moon balloon, which is tragically no more. It's been sent to get repaired after it burst at the balloon fiesta. This balloon business is not going that well, is it? I'd like to see some in the sky for a change. That would be good.
I'm not afraid to
Stevie Winwood and Valerie. We're going to have Liam on the show in just a moment with some quirky stories and TV for tonight. But poor fella, he's been sitting at security. It's like JFK out there. They never let you in. It's unbelievable.
BBC security. It's quite tight.
No, I know. Unbelievable. You know, we invite guests onto the show and then they don't actually send them to the show. There's a problem here.
There is a problem here.
Liam, we'll chat in just a bit. And also later on in the show, we're going to have Matt Johnson on, who started out in the business we call show at the age of 16. And he was with a boy band for a bit. He was on Pop Stars on ITV. And now he's going it alone. He's got a fantastic new single, which I think he might be singing for us. If not, I've got it on tape. It's all fine. Don't worry. So Liam to come next after some more music, Earth, Wind and Fire, Saturday night. It'll be here soon, in about 24 hours and 4 hours. Add those two together. Good. Wind and Fire, Saturday night. I don't know what all that muttering's about. Hello to Ron in Winterbourne, who's got in touch and had a go at the connection and was right, by the way. Well done, Ron. Although your wife, Sylvia, had a guess as well. She wasn't right, but there we are. And she's listening. He's listening to the radio and has got the test match on as well. How do you do that? One ear maybe with the test match and one with this show. 3:30 now, and it's Friday's show with Claire on your BBC local radio station. And Liam, who you heard dramatically arrive just a few moments ago from Charfield, is here. And they wouldn't let him through, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't.
You're not coming in.
No,
well, your face doesn't fit.
I know. I was gonna say, do I look that bad?
Honestly, this show is produced to the nth degree, and then they won't even let our guests through. I don't know what's going on. They probably won't let me out now.
I know. You're bad mouthing them.
Yeah, no, I know.
Stuck here forever.
I know. So, have you got a big weekend planned, Liam?
Not really. It's going to be a pretty chilled one. I haven't got anything planned this weekend.
Okay.
So it should. I quite like that. I don't know about you.
No, I like that.
I like
that.
Not
never happens
plans.
To me, but I do like having nothing to do.
Yeah, my partner doesn't. She likes. Well, she says she does, and then she actually gets to the day. And she gets too antsy inside, and eventually she'll get to the point where she's just driving everybody insane. So we have to exit the house at some point, but she can never decide what she wants to do. So
no. Okay.
We'll figure something out. I'm
yeah,
sure.
Something will come up. Now then, you've been having a rapid route through the papers for
I have.
Quirky stories. Bear in mind he was trapped before that.
Yeah.
And what have you dug out, love?
There is one which looks really interesting to me, which is that a dad, I don't know where he lives, but he's managed to build in his back garden. It looks incredible from the pictures, but he's managed to build an 18-foot frame which can lift him higher than his house. Oh, it does say it's in Stamford in Lincolnshire.
Okay.
But it basically flings you around 360 degrees.
Why would you do that?
This is the question that popped into my head automatically when I see it. One, why would you do it? And two, we've come a long way from just the normal swing. If we've got to the point where we're now going full 360 degrees... That's very different to what I used to have in my back garden when I was younger.
We used to have one of those swing ball things that you whack as hard as possible.
I love those.
And it goes spinning round.
I love
those. And
then
some poor child at the other end has to try and hit it back.
That's the problem, though, because when you have younger children that you're playing with, I get very competitive. But the problem is with nieces and nephews that are a lot younger, it's tricky because you want to be really competitive.
I know.
And they want to win. And there's the whole conflict of, do you let them win? Do you not let them win?
Yeah.
And
because what kind of lesson is that, letting them win?
Well, this is what I say quite often, but I'm normally shot down by their parents because they say, well, it's important that they do win. And my argument is, but it's also important that sometimes in life you don't win. Sometimes you lose.
Or you just take part.
Yeah. And also from the parents' perspective, surely it's nicer that they allow their children to win because then they're the good guy.
It's true.
Whereas me as uncle, I don't need to be nice.
No.
Because I don't live with them.
That's the thing.
So I love them immensely, but I don't need to let them win. Sometimes they genuinely do win, but not all the time.
Oh, my word. This is a whole BBC local radio phone in this,
yes,
isn't it?
It absolutely is.
When should you let them win?
Last time it was science. This time we can give advice about when you should let your children win and when you shouldn't.
Brilliant. Now then, anything else you've got?
Not really. There's TV stuff going on tonight.
Oh, yes, let's talk about that.
Have you been going on with the Olympics? Have you been following it?
I have been following it in a kind of vague way, in that a lot of stuff happens at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, this is
when
a
I'm
problem.
Asleep.
This is a problem.
But I just want to bring your attention, because it's fantastic, to the BBC Sport website, and there's been hours and hours spent doing this. They do a compilation of everything that's happened during the night.
See, that's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So if you go on the BBC Sport website the next morning, then you'll find like a little highlights package of everything that's happened overnight, which is fantastic. I mean, there's things happening now. We've just won another gold medal.
Oh, brilliant.
In the rowing. So at 7 o'clock tonight, if you are into the Olympics, Claire Ball presents the latest from Rio, and the equestrian stuff gets going tonight. That's horses. I know that.
I like playing that on the Mario Olympics. I don't know whether I could do it in real life, but on the game I'm awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then 8:30 tonight, the velodrome, so it's a cycling again, and
that's always good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
we won a gold last night as well, which is great.
So
that's one well, not me.
To you.
I know.
To the team.
I am representative of Team GB. What else have you dug out for TV tonight?
I know it's another BBC programme, and I am clashing with your 7 o'clock, so I do apologise.
That's okay, we can tape.
I am a secret fan of eggheads.
That's okay.
So it's something that I need to start being proud of rather than ashamed and keeping to myself. But I really enjoy Eggheads. So if you're a quiz person, 7 o'clock BBC Two.
I'm a big quiz person. I can't get on with Eggheads, though.
Really?
No.
I think it's brilliant. I think, again, it's one of those situations where it's like, mate, do they ever feel guilty about winning so much?
Yeah. No,
so often,
probably not.
I don't. I'm not sure. But I like it anyway. I like it.
That's 7 o'clock tonight, and that's followed by, if you like quizzes, Mastermind. Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the specialised thing because I can never get any answers right, but I can normally get general knowledge stuff.
Yeah. I'm a bit of the opposite way around. I'm useless when it comes to general knowledge, but if I can plan far enough ahead and I'm given a subject or I choose the right subject for myself, then it's all brilliant.
Yeah. 10:40 tonight, if you're looking for a film to watch, A Fish Called Wanda, absolute classic from the 1980s, and of course starring John Cleese from Western Supermare. That's a beautiful local link, isn't it?
It is. That's my hometown.
Is it?
Western Supermare is my hometown. So
brilliant.
Yes. Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
10:40 tonight, I think it's on ITV.
Yeah.
Liam, it was brief,
yes,
but it was lovely.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to see you. Thank you so much for
you
coming
too.
In. Have
Thanks
a great
for
weekend.
Me.
Cheers.
Thank you.
BBC Radio Bristol.
Very late, but we must check in with Oliver Head for the latest on the roads. What's happening, Oliver?
Well, long delays on the M5 southbound between junction 14 for Thornbury and junction 20 for Clevedon and Nelsie. It's just the sheer volume of summer holiday traffic. Thanks for your calls about Gordano services as well. Long queues trying to get in, through and back out of Gordano services just off junction 19. Again, all the volume of traffic around there. Near to that, the A369 seeing some queues as well by the services and trying to get to junction 19. Due to all the traffic, the A38 from Thornbury to Rudgeway southbound really slow as traffic takes that alternative route. The M5 northbound is very slow in places between 27 Tiverton and 22 for Burnham-on-Sea, and again the A38 very heavy from Wellington to Taunton points as traffic tries to avoid that. In Taunton at the county grounds, there's the cricket that starts at 5 o'clock this evening. The 358 coming from town, delays starting from just after Hatch Beecham on towards Ilminster, and then most of the A3A3 Ilminster bypass and beyond very slow in both directions, again from Podimore to Sparkford, both sides. Cartgate Link Road, the A3088, that's very heavy to and from Yeovil through the roadworks. In Bristol at Ashton Court, there's the Balloon Fiesta, the 369, Abbotsley Road, Rownham Hill, Clannage Road and some surrounding routes closed again from 7 o'clock until midnight. Redfield on Church Road is slow moving. In the centre of Bath by the Salvation Army on James Street West, that collision's been cleared. On the trains, there's a broken down service, delays between Chiswick and Kew Bridge in London, and there's signal problems at Bourne End. In fact, just hearing that's cleared now, so journeys between Maidenhead and Marlow are returning to normal. Any updates, give us a call if your hand's free. 0345 905 949.
On it.
Yes.
Yeah. Finger on the pulse.
Whatever you want to say. Yeah,
exactly.
It makes me feel good.
That's it. Next update just after four. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Previously on Clueless with Richard Lewis.
Can you hear I'm feeling very, very confident?
So we got to Ali Wells and Bruce Almighty against Jimmy James and his vagabond.
You can probably hear, Richard, it's a hive of activity. The big announcer's on in the background. They've got the motorbikes on.
There's 100 vintage and veteran motorbikes here on display.
We're going up the stairs to the signalling bit of the operation where they signal the boats in.
Two radio stations, two teams, one winner.
Oh, Nicola, where are you?
Where's Marwan gone?
Clueless with Richard Lewis.
Who wins?
You're Marwan!
So Ali Wells and Bruce Almighty tying with James and Andy today.
Sunday morning from 10 on BBC Radio Bristol.
What an exciting one.
Matt Johnson on the show next. After you get your dancing shoes on, it's the Nolans. I'm in the mood for dancing. How good. I'm in the mood for dancing. Some of us are still trapped in the 70s. Can't get out, that's the thing. 18 minutes to four now, and it's Claire in the afternoon on your BBC local radio station on a fab Friday. Let's say hello to my musical guest today. He's been in the business we call show since the age of 16. He's a singer-songwriter who had a short dalliance with being in a boy band created by the ITV series Pop Stars. Now he's got a cracking new single out and he's going to play live for you. What more could you want? It's Matt Johnson. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Lovely to meet you.
How are we?
How did you like that intro?
That was very good.
Can you know, tell I was reading it?
No, well, I started way back when I was 10.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Should I rewrite it?
Before all the kind of, you know, reality thing, musical theatre was my first thing.
Was it?
Yeah, boarding away. I boarded away when I was a kid in London doing stuff like Les Mis and you know, Oliver with, and at the time that was with people like Russ Abbott playing Fagin. And
brilliant.
Gary Wilmot was one.
Gary Wilmot does everything.
Yeah,
he's in all musical theatre.
Mm,
always.
So, yeah.
And at all times.
And I stayed in musical theatre until my voice broke.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
That's when I, you know.
So
that.
You started age 10, and how did people know that you were a talent? But how can you tell at the age of 10?
You just, you know, I was fearless, you know, young kid. And I just attended the audition like every other person. And I was the lucky one.
Yeah.
And that's just no more complicated than that, really. I had a really good run. And once you get into a production with a company like Cameron Mackintosh, you do tend to then...
Who are the big cheeses?
Well, it's easier then to
theater,
move...
Aren't they?
Yeah, it's easier to move to the next show because they know what you do and you kind of...
And when you're 10 years old, I mean, do you remember that far back being on stage? Because I'm not sure I remember much about being 10.
Yeah, I do actually, if I'm honest. You know, these are some of the best memories ever. And, you know, I remember... You know, the last night, I remember when I did Les Mis, and the last night after, say, 8 months of doing the show, I remember, you know, a bit of tears on the stage at the end. I do remember. And I remember, you know, the day I did my first ever show and I took my bow at the end and I thought, this is what I want.
And who looked after you when you were working in theatre?
You have chaperones.
Yeah.
The company employee. I mean, there's a lot of kids, you know, especially in a musical, say, like Oliver, you've got maybe 30 to 40 kids.
Mm.
So you have chaperones, you know, it's chaos, actually.
Yeah, I bet it is. What a job that is, being a chaperone. Now then, you've been away for a while. Where have you been?
Well, after the boy band finished, you know, it was a tough time for me. You know, it was a downtime, really.
Mm.
Didn't know what I was going to do. I was 3 months off my 18th birthday. The world was a different place. And, you know, there was no online version to be a musician. It was still like, got to get my product in the shop. That was the only way. So I hit the road for a long time, did about 250 gigs a year for maybe 10 years. And it would be any type of gig, you know, from one night I could be dead lucky and support somebody really good in an arena, and the next night I'd be in a hotel. And that pattern remained like that for a long time because I had to earn a living as well. So I had to go through things like learning to drive and buying my first house. And I avoided what I call the proper job, you know, the 9-to-5, and I had to make a living somehow from my voice.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was gigs I didn't enjoy and I just got on with it. Really.
I was going to say, were there times when you just thought, is this worth it?
And there was never a time like that. because music's who I am. I feel it's part of my system. So I never think I'd ever leave music, regardless of how a career went. But there's definitely times where it's a real struggle and you just think no one's on your side. I think that's more how you felt. You just think, what do I have to do to be able to be where I want to be in the career that I've chosen? So it can get, it's really tough. There is no path.
And were you getting any support from, say, people in the industry, if there is such a thing as the music industry anymore? Because it's so sort of decimated, isn't it?
Well, I think it's got worse, actually. I think, you know, now, you know, the music industry is now competing against reality TV.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, even a show like Strictly Come Dancing demands the time and attention of the viewer that's taken away from a piece of music. And I remember somebody actually said to me, you know, people used to sit down and listen to music and now they're on their iPad, they've got the baby in one hand, they've got a kettle on in the other, and the music's in the background. It's really hard to fight for people's attention now.
That's so true. We have no sort of span of attention, do we?
No.
We just don't have that anymore. No. We can't sort of sit down and, like, listening to a whole album. Does anyone even do that anymore?
I don't know. I think there's a good selection of people that love music still. They're the people that are going out to the venues, and the rest are the ones you have to tap into, you know, the general wider population. But it is really tough business.
Yeah.
And I concentrated a long time on just trying to make a living, because when you take anything that you love and then you start paying your council tax with it and mortgages and bills, there's going to be days that it's just not so merry.
No, you know, it becomes less fun.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it took me a long time to realise that if you do something that you start when you're 10 and maybe you'll carry on till the day you die, there's going to be loads of ups, but there's going to be loads of downs. And it's, you got to just try and enjoy the journey a bit and not get so stressed. I used to stress so much, you know, about negative articles in the paper, and it used to really affect me. But now it doesn't bother me at all.
Be honest with me. Do you still like things like X Factor and Britain's Got Talent? Do you still think they've got a place in the music industry? Because that's what they're about, and on telly.
Yeah, I think the TV talent show started out as a good concept, and along the way, I'm sure these shows would love to just to make it about music, but again, it's fighting for people's attention. So if they don't have the joke act or the silly act or the judge being silly, they can't keep the viewer's attention. I always say to people, if you go on a reality television show, you've got to be the type of product that watches those shows after it finishes, you know. And I think that's why you have acts like Little Mix and Ollie Murs that have gone on to do so well. It's because they're pure family pop, you know. And it's that whole Peter Andre audience. But if you want to be, you know, Ed Sheeran, Paloma Faith, and an artist like James Arthur that come from one of those shows, you're going to struggle because your peers probably won't respect you.
Yeah. You think a lot about this, I can tell.
Well, when you're your own judge and jury, you sort of have to, you know, and that's what online does as well. And it teaches you a lot, because you put something up, you know. I originally started putting stuff up on streaming to try and get gigs, show promoters, and then 1,000 streams turned into 1,000 a day. And you learned what people actually want. And now I, even writing songs, I think differently. I think, well, will they understand that in the Philippines? Do they understand that?
Yeah.
That, you know, title, does that make sense? Mm. So yeah, it does really change your whole outlook.
Did you write it in Filipino? No.
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 Google Translator.
No. It's all available. It's all out there. I've got your new single to play, which is great, called Get Over You.
Yeah.
But you're going to perform live for us in the studio with your guitarist, Bjorn. Hello, Bjorn.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
He's not from Sweden. He's from South Wales. We've established. So what song are you going to do live for us?
So this song is going to be my next single, and it's called I'm Still In Love With You.
Brilliant. Let's hear it. This is Matt Johnson playing live on the show.
Okay, here we go.
I'm gonna hold and caress you, so pure and lily white. going back to the honeymoon. There ain't gonna be sleeping much tonight. No, put your arms around me, and I feel you breathing down my ear. No, beauty is all I can see. If heaven was on earth, then it's here. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. Reach into my soul and you find your proof. I'm still in love with you. As I slowly undress you, and my desire and fantasy, your love is my pleasure. I never tasted skin so sweet. And oh, rest your lips upon me, and I feel the aura in here. Oh, your touch is pure chemistry. You're everything I need, my dear. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. Reach into my soul and you find your proof. I'm still in love with you. And oh, rest your lips upon me, and I feel you breathing down my ear. And oh, beauty is all I can see. If heaven was on earth, then it's here. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. After all the years, I'm still in love with you. Reach into my soul and you find your proof. I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you.
Whoa, great. Well done, guys. That was fantastic. Brilliant. Matt Johnson performing live on the show. See, whenever I clap, it just sounds like a slow hand clap because it's just me.
Play, play, that was play the clap sound.
Yeah, I know. Hang on, I've got a clap sound. Hang on. Oh. See?
Hey.
See? So much production in this show, honestly. That was Matt Johnson performing live on the show, just fab. And are you going to be out doing some more gigs? Or what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So the focus at the moment is going to be building up to this album, which is going to be called Chaplin Road. And I'm dead fortunate.
Why is it called Chaplin Road?
Well, the guy I worked with, Steve Power, that recorded the album, his studio is on Chaplin Road in London.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to name drop, but I am going to. But he's really good to take me in because he's done stuff like Escapology for Robbie Williams and stuff. So I was lucky
wow.
there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that I like found myself, my identity as an artist again, and I was lost for a long time and I didn't know who I was musically. But I just found my roots again in his studio and it just felt like a nice connection. So and then, I thought it sounded all right as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great name. Everyone will think Charlie Chaplin, will they?
I don't know. Yeah. It depends.
So new album, is it out now? Can we get it?
Yeah, it's going to be out next year. Obviously online, but it's going to be physical as well in your HMV type stores.
Yeah.
And until,
that means a CD.
Yep. Yeah. But if anyone
the
knows,
physical thing.
Anyone knows what that is.
Yeah.
And then in between, then I'm going to do a bunch of singles. Not going to just do two. Probably do about five or six before the album.
I've got another one to play, which is called "Get Over You," which you said. Did you say it was going to be the first single?
Yep.
From
so
the album?
This is out, you know, now, and
okay.
There's a good video on YouTube as well if you want to go and watch.
Brilliant. Where do we find all your stuff, Matt?
So. If you want to speak to me directly, you know, jump on Facebook or Twitter, do speak and answer absolutely everyone that messages me and takes the time. All my video stuff is on YouTube. Music is obviously on BBC Bristol.
Yeah.
And in between...
And Somerset.
Yep. In between those times, jump on Apple or Spotify.
Yeah. Matt, brilliant to meet you. Thank you so much. Really interesting. All you said about like the music industry and everything. Really fascinating. Glad you're back.
Back.
Yeah. And here is, which this is going to be his first single, and it's out now. You can get it. "Get Over You" by Matt Johnson.
Honey, you stole my heart, honey. Fall apart. I don't know what it is I said. I don't know what's going on in your head. Oh, I wish we could go back to the start and make it seem that I was wrong, but it felt so right, and with me you belong. How do we end up like this? What happened to us? What did I miss? I tried and I tried, and I tried my best. Gave it all I could, but I couldn't make it last. You got my soul, you got my mind. It's like I'm burning down inside. I need the truth, it's gonna hurt. Oh, but lying just feels worse. Now there's a hole deep in my heart. Guess in time I'll face the truth, cause I'm beaten down and I lost my youth. Or maybe there's someone else to share my life and share my bed. Maybe we just let it go too far.